we're still studying Obey. Hopefully we can finish Obey today.
But Obey is kind of important.
Yes, sir.
If you don't obey, does that mean you don't have faith?
Good question, man.
How can I say this?
Experiencing sloth.
Experiencing sloth for a while. A wave of sloth is coming over me.
A wave of, you say sloth?
Yeah, are you just experiencing sloth?
Everything about God stuff is either on or off. It's never progressing. Not obeying is a trespass. But the blood of Christ has cleansed us from all trespasses. It doesn't cleanse us from sin. We died, so that's the death is sin. That's why the sin offering was for who we are. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 1, starting verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Everything in that sounds contradictory. It's even worse. Let's go to 1 John 3. Starting verse 5. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This sounds impossible. It's nothing but contradiction to the mind. Whosoever is born of God doth not sin, but if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. So what's going on?
Yeah, how can you...
You're either in him or you're not in him. There's no in between. In him is obedience. In him you have the faith of God. In him there's perfection. You've been perfected by one offering. But when you return to self, everything is gone. There's no in between. You're not progressing. You're not getting better. He is perfected in you. You are sin. When you return to you, you sin. You can't... You understand? It's either all him or none of him. There's no in between. This is the predicate of our doctrine that we've been delivered into. Now you're going to trespass, you're going to screw up, but the blood of Christ cleanses you from it. But you have to see that the flesh is no more to be tested. It has nothing to do with anything any longer. You've been perfected by one offering. That's done. It's over. When you turn to self, the evil one reigns. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so important. Lead us not into temptation. And John found this thing out that word lead is only used twice in the Bible, both for the Lord's Prayer in Luke and in Matthew. Lead us not inward for any reason.
When you say when you return to self for sin, so my question is, what is that? What does that mean?
When self is the subject of your question or your life or your thoughts, self is gone. And so you have resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound. That's why self has got to be divorced, gone. Well, let's go. We're studying faith. So obedience. The last time one we studied was obedience to the doctrine in Romans 6. But then let's go back to Romans 6 because it has another important message.
Romans 6.
Start in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, or by means of him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or unto self. It's the same thing. You're dead unto self. But alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by the means of Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But thank be unto God. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto or you. Now that sounds very complicated, but it's simple as breathing. You're gone. He lives. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. No thought can stand against, it is finished. No thought can stand against, you own all things. No thought can stand against, you've been perfected by one offering. It's over. It's done. It's finished. Return to self for any reason, and it's gone. That's why repentance is the only thing. Just we've talked about this so often, but remember, the one that Jesus Christ said was the greatest man that ever lived, born of woman, was John the Baptist. His fundamental message was bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. You can't continue in self.
Cool thing about I was saying as we were reading that was it's obey from the heart. And we talked about forgiving from the heart, and there's all this stuff.
Right, and the heart is just it means the inward being,
yeah,
the real you.
Everything about you, but it's like what we want to do is we want to know what I'm supposed to do, and then I'll do it, and that's like that's a bang from your head or something. Obey from your heart is knowing. It's like we need to know who, not what.
Amen.
You know him, then that's how the obedience from the heart happens.
You know you, and you abandon self. You take no thought for your life. Why do you think he said that? Because you don't know. Because your mind is the mortal enemy of God. Your mind is the Antichrist. The instead of Christ. Your mind is the son of perdition.
I like this mind thing is a bad thing.
If you want to continue paying attention to it, just have at it.
Yeah,
thanks. And my only question is, I've asked you 100 times, paying attention to your mind and your emotions, how's that worked out for you?
It has.
Well, then stop paying attention to it. It's take no thought for your life. Abandon yourself.
It does appear to be true, observably as well, that at least one of the self-generated thoughts and generally serves self-seeking in a circular pattern.
New. This is why it says, which we just studied yesterday, I guess, have the faith of God. Only way you have the faith of God, the only faith of God is manifested in Jesus Christ. That faith of God can only happen in your abandonment, in your emptiness. He's already been perfected in you. The real you has nothing to do with all this crap. This everything that you can perceive in time and space, its purpose is antagonism. To see whether or not anything can pull you off the mercy seat. To see whether anything can get your attention. If it gets your attention, you're lost. It's either on or off. Either you are alive unto God in Christ, or you're alive unto yourself in Satan. You still think? Let's go back. Let's go back to Isaiah 28.
Isaiah.
Verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of the remnant of the people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, the wine of, we just read up before, the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking, self-realization, self-concern. You're drunk. That's why addicts exist in the world, to show us how we are so completely addicted to ourselves. Yeah, that has to go. That's the predicate of Christianity. Because they also have erred through wine, through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That means everything that you've ever learned has been regurgitated from somebody else. It's all vomit. Does anybody believe that? You think you've learned something, but you've just eaten the vomit of somebody else. It's just regurgitated crap. And then you're proud of it, so you quote who you learned it from. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips, and remember that word means mocking, mocking lips and another tongue, that doesn't mean speaking in tongues, it means that he's speaking to you in a language your mind cannot ever comprehend. Or be you, your mind will never be apprehended. And his whole, what he's doing, God has been mocking you your whole life. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So you stop this idea of trying to learn something and the illusion that you're getting better. Can't you see that? God, you're at the top of the pyramid of the human race. There is nothing better that can ever be done. And you just belittle it. Every time your mind starts playing and you give it rein to the evil one, it's like you're taking the crown of thorns and pounding them into the head of Christ.
You've been freely conjoined with perfection.
Amen. It's already finished. It's done. It's finished 2,000 years ago. Every time you think you have something to do, you're pounding the nails into his hand. Every time you think you have someplace to go, you're pounding the nails into his feet. You're crucifying the Son of God afresh. It's this. I'm not kidding. When you give this evil one reign, when you let him reign with your emotions and your thoughts, it's just, it's again, see it, feel it. It's pounding the crown of thorns into his head. And that's not, I'm not the first one that said that. Luther said that. carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That five words, one word in Greek, kino, totally emptied. That doesn't make any sense to anybody, but I haven't learned a tiniest thing about the mystery of God since the day of my conversion. I've learned how to describe it. I've approved it through the scriptures. But the revelation is exactly what I saw. You can't learn it.
You mean you can't learn God stuff? That's what
you're saying. That's what I said. You can only be apprehended by it through your repentance. Anybody have any reaction to all this?
Yeah, I do.
All right, let's see about obeying with regard to Abraham. Go to 1 Peter. Chapter 3.
3.
First Peter.
This is about this whole incredible mystery of marriage. Let's start in chapter 2, verse 21 or 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. That is acceptable unto God. We're going to have to do this next time. I have lost my voice. All the way down to be wives and be in subjection and servants unto your master and all
chapter
that good stuff.
Chapter 3 to where?
Huh?
Chapter 3 to where?
Well, just from chapter 2 where we started to chapter, read the whole chapter, but it's all the ones about obedience. I'm sorry. Take it, big guy.